So if you turn to your Bibles, John 15, verse 9 to 17. Love and joy perfected. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's own life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. An incredible passage. And I'd ask you, if you've got your Bibles, to keep that open, keep your Bibles open on John chapter 15. As we think about the fact that over the last few months, as we've been looking at the amazing story of those who were heroes in the list of heroes from Hebrews chapter 11, we were reminded that faith comes through hearing and hearing by the word of God. But we were also absolutely reminded that salvation is a gift from God. It is not something we can earn. We cannot earn salvation. But the Bible does say something about what we can earn. And we see that in different parts of the Bible, but we see it especially in the book of Revelation, where those who persevere in their faith, those who remain faithful, are given what is called a crown of life. And in Revelation chapter 4, I think it's verse 10, we see that the elders would take their crowns and would cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus and lay their crowns down, as it were, as a gift to him, thanking him for what he had done. There's even a beautiful song group called Casting Crowns, which reminds us that there will come a time in heaven where we may be able to receive a crown and there demonstrate our love by taking that crown and casting it, as it were, at the foot of our Lord Jesus himself. But the crown doesn't just happen. Salvation is a gift. It's nothing that we can work for or earn. It is a gift from God through Jesus, through the cross. But the crown is something we can earn. And it's interesting that those who are faithful, those who have courage, those who are able to stay in the battle, and even to a degree lay down their lives for their friends, in a sense, are earning something amazing that could come through the gift of eternal life in heaven. There's also a sense in which we have been given an opportunity to earn the freedom that has been given to us, especially from those brave men, as we heard, who stormed the German trenches at the Battle of the Somme and many other battles through the 20th century. They gave us the gift of freedom, but we, in a sense, have to still earn the honor of wearing the badge of freedom. Jesus gave us the gift of salvation. He gave us the gift of eternal life, but we have to earn the honor of wearing a crown and having a crown that can be given to Jesus as an offering from us. We have to earn that. The gift we cannot earn, the crown we have to earn. During the American Civil War, there was a mom called Mrs. Bixby, who had five sons, and the five sons were serving the Union Army, and they were all lost in battle, and many of them were lost in the Battle of Gettysburg outside Washington. And Abraham Lincoln wrote an amazing letter to her saying how much she had offered on the altar of freedom in the laying down of her five sons in the battle for freedom. The American War Department took that letter and made a policy where if a family had a number of sons and perhaps daughters in the battlefield and they were lost in the struggle, in the battle, that if one remained, that they would try and bring that one home so that there would at least be one child who would come back to care and look after their parents. In the Second World War, there was a young man called Private Ryan, and he was one of four who had been involved, four sons, and three of his brothers had been killed in action. He was the last one standing. His brothers Daniel, Sean, and Peter had all been killed in the action up until then. And so orders came from the Department of War, and those orders quoted from Abraham Lincoln's Bixby letter, it was known as, and a mission was established. Captain John Miller was tasked to go, and in the middle of the front lines after the D-Day landings in Normandy, he was ordered to go and find Private Ryan and bring him back safely so he could be returned to his family. During that time, as the little group went to find him and, in a sense, support him and rescue him from the front line and bring him back, two of the men were actually killed in action. On the last day, just before they were about to get back to safety of their own back lines, Captain John Miller himself was mortally wounded in a battle involving a German tank. And as he lay there bleeding and about to die, he called James Ryan over to him, and he said to him, "I want you to earn this gift that you've been given. Earn this gift," in a way, he was saying, "where we have had to lay our lives down to bring you back safely. Now, in your life, earn the gift that we have given you." I don't know if it's possible. Richard's going to try. We're going to have a look. The actual footage in the film is described as historically accurate. Just want us to look at what that felt like, what that looked like at that moment. Let's have a look together. In that picture, in that amazing, historically accurate closing of James Ryan's rescue, we see, don't we, a picture of the cross, really, of a time when we were given freedom and a chance to live, a chance to, as it were, be saved from the situation in which we lived. And in the same way, we have that refrain coming across over all the centuries, where the Bible says, where the Lord himself, in a sense, would say to us, earn this gift. James Ryan was given a gift. You cannot earn the gift, but you can earn how you respond to that gift. You can earn how you follow on from that gift. In the same way, we remember those who fell in battle today, Our freedom that they've given us is a challenge, and we are called to earn the freedom that was given to us as a gift. We cannot ignore the freedom. We cannot treat it lightly or be careless with the freedom. We are called to respect the freedom and honor those and remember those who earned it with such sacrifice for us. In the same way, those who faithfully persevered under persecution in our own church history, I think of Cranmer and Tyndale and many others who, for the sake of the gospel of Christ, would even go to the stake and be burnt alive rather than forfeit the pure hope and truth of the gospel, so that you and I can benefit from their sacrifice. As they laid down their lives, we have the freedom to proclaim Christ without fear, without prejudice. But we need to earn that gift. We need to be found, as much as God gives us grace, to be faithful in being faithful with the pure theology that they gave us, faithful in the evangelism of God's message, enabling us to share the hope that we have. We need to be faithful with the gift that they passed down. We need to earn, as it were, the gift. But most importantly, we need to earn the gift, don't we, that Christ himself has given us. The gift of being a Christian, the gift of salvation, the gift and the hope that comes. And yes, there'll be times like soldiers in battle will fall and will find themselves in the mud of the trenches and be overwhelmed and sometimes overwhelmed by the smoke of the battle. But we need to persevere to the objective. We need to get up out of the mud, and we need to move forward in the fight so that by God's grace, we can too earn this gift. Earn as it we were the gift, the crown of salvation, the crown of life, that we may offer that crown back, cast that crown at the feet of our Lord. And so quickly this morning, as we look at the passage in John, we firstly see that we earn this by, at first, actively abiding in God's love. Christian love, John says, is not a feeling. It's not how we feel today. It's not a prejudice. It's not what we would like or not like. Christian love is abiding, actively abiding in the love of God, taking time every day to renew our relationship with our Lord, taking time to pray and ask God to lead us on our journey towards him. It's an active relationship, taking time to join each other on our services and to be at church together and to be in prayer together and to worship him together. We need to take the time actively to abide in the love of God. In John 15:10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." And so we follow his commandments. And the greatest commandment that he gives us is that we love one another as he has loved us, and that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. That's his commandment. And that's the one we need to keep and actively hold on to. And that doesn't come by feelings. It comes with active involvement. We secondly see that we earn this crown, this freedom, this salvation, by also being available to be a vessel of God's great joy. It's not our own joy that is our strength. It's not whether we are feeling, wake up one morning feeling like we are on top of the world. It's not that joy that Jesus is talking about as we go to the next verse in 11, where Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you." You see, And it is that joy, and that your joy may be full, because your joy will be my joy that is in you. So we're talking about a heavenly joy that is overflowing us like a fountain overflows. It's a heavenly joy that we embrace. It's a heavenly joy that we hold on to. It's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. If it were our joy, there would be some days we'd feel really cool and really excited, but there would be other days when we'd be feeling really down, maybe even overwhelmed and depressed. But it's not our joy that gives us the strength of the Lord. It's opening and receiving the joy of the Lord, the joy of salvation, the joy of the knowledge that our Lord is risen again, the joy of the knowledge that our Lord is in authority, and that the joy of the knowledge is that we will one day know that we can come before him and say, and reach out and say, my Lord and my Savior, my Master and my King, and worship him, and by God's grace, take a crown of something that we may have earned and cast it at the feet of him who saved us. The other day I went into Tesco's, and there was this lovely young person who was at the till, and they were so friendly. They were so encouraging, just the way it was just who they were. They may just be that kind of person. And they were asking about the day, my day, and hoping that I was going to have a good day. But it was spontaneous. It wasn't put on. And as I left, I thought, what a wonderful gift that is, to be filled with joy. This lady had joy, and that joy was being shared in the community, in the shop itself. And I thought, that's really what it should be like for us. If we are available and receive the joy of the Lord and allow the joy of the Lord to overflow us, the joy of God's victory, the joy of what he has done for us to overflow, we too will be a bit like that lady. Wherever we go, we will share something amazing, something wonderful, because the joy of the Lord will encourage others and will be a blessing to others as well. But it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength, not the joy that we can make for ourselves. And then lastly, thirdly, we earn this salvation, this gift, this freedom, by practicing, Jesus says, the very simple act of friendship. In 15 verse 4, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. In other words, if we abide in him and love one another and love the Lord, then we will be his friends as we know him as our Lord and Savior. And in verse 15, he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master plans, but you are now my friends. For as the Heavenly Father has shown me his will, I will reveal my will to you. You are my friends. And as I thought of that, I was reminded of a time when I was training in the army, and time of training can be very challenging, especially as you are learning how to fire your rifle, and as you have to run up and down hills and learn how to skirmish through vast swathes of thorny ground. It's a time of testing, but it's a time of training. And during that time, we had a platoon sergeant who would be very, very almost angry on a daily basis. He would shout at us. He would call us names that I couldn't repeat here. There was one time when we were on parade in the drill square and marching, and he came up to me and he said, if you don't put your elbow in, I'm going to break your arm off, and then I'm going to hit you over the head with your broken arm. That's the sort of way the sergeant spoke to us when we were in training. There was another time when my rifle got stuck on the range and I had to bring a hand over to try and release the firing mechanism. And the next thing, he was right there by my ear saying, "Were you a contortionist in Civvy Street?" And I'll never forget that. That was the way it was. It wasn't personal. It was just the way the sergeant was. But once we had left training, once we were out on patrols in the front line, once we were in the situation where we were no longer just in training, but actually in action, that situation changed. And I remember one day meeting that very same sergeant in a frontline area. And we sat down together with a few of the other men in that stick, and we had tea together and we talked as friends. He was no longer this angry sergeant, but he was sharing advice and encouraging us. And we were able to talk to him on a first name basis. And what had happened was we were no longer just trainees or servants, as it were. We had become comrades in the battle. We had become friends in the battle. And in a sense, that's what it's like when we serve and earn the gift that Jesus has given us, because he calls us to a battle. He calls us to a frontline situation. We go into war, as it were, against spiritual forces of darkness and overwhelming evil sometimes. But we do it together, and we do it with him, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. But as we go into that battle, we are earning, not because of anything we've done, but we are earning because of what he's done for us, the freedom he's given us. We are earning the freedom to now be called a friend of God rather than just a servant of God. So our response today, as we close, to those who sacrifice so much for our freedom, and for those who sacrifice so much in the church, the martyrs that laid down their lives, again, for the testimony of the church and the freedom that we have today to proclaim Christ, and even indeed for our own Lord and Savior himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, is that we follow his commands actively, loving one another and loving God, that we allow ourselves to be filled with the joy of the Lord as vessels that are filled with his joy, not our own joy, and are being overflowing with the joy and strength of the Lord. And that we no longer now are servants, but we are friends, comrades in the battle together, and that we are able to share together as soldiers on the front line, because we are no longer servants, but friends. And so today, as we remember those who fell and those who served, may we too take our part. May we also, like them, serve faithfully in all that we are called to serve him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, and may God bless you as we continue. We're going to close with a hymn of reflection. It's a beautiful hymn. It's a hymn that we know so well. I'd like us to reflect on the amazing grace of God that has given us the hope that we have. Let's just reflect on that as we close today. Thank you.